The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live Bible answer program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. If you have a question on the Bible or the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. That's 1-888-ASK-CSN. Now let's get things started. Here's today's host.
Hi, and welcome to Every Man an Answer. I'm your host today, Shannon Skolton, in place of Mike Kessler. Thank everybody for listening in today as we answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. If you have any questions, maybe something you hear in church that doesn't seem right, maybe you're talking with friends and you're fellowshipping and conversations arise that you need answers to, or maybe there's something we say on this program or any other program that you've just never heard in the Bible before and you need clarification, we are here for you. You can call us at 888-ASK-CSN. Again, the number is 888-ASK-CSN, and we would be more than happy to answer your questions. I host a show, Voice of Truth, with Shannon Skolton on Sundays here on CSN, 3 p.m. Mountain Time, talking about things from a biblical perspective that are happening in the world, geopolitically, and also with our nation. I interview a lot of different people, from congressmen to senators. We talk about legislature. We also talk to pastors and people in the evangelical realm about things we believe people need to know and encourage people to be a voice of truth in their community. And today I am blessed with having Pastor Scott Spencer as my co-host here. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hi, Shannon. I'm good.
Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Are you excited?
I am excited.
Okay, I want to make sure. We have fun. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or any of the other platforms, you'll see that we're going to have a good time here today on To Every Man an Answer. So, Scott, a lot of things are going on in the world today. We see that we're still dealing, and we talk about it all the time on To Every Man an Answer. I know you've hosted before. Right now, we're dealing with election fraud. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with everything going on with the Trump administration and the lawsuits. Tell me what you know. I know you follow Newsy and Newsmax and OANN and all those. What is new from your perspective on what's going on politically?
I think there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that is not being reported. Absolutely, the Alphabet News is not reporting all of the questions about fraud and all of that stuff that has obviously gone on in the background. I watch a little bit. I watch the Alphabet News, and they're saying that there's no evidence of fraud when, I mean, it just slaps you in the face. Newsmax is probably where I go for most of my news now. I can hardly tolerate watching the Alphabet News. I get so exasperated because they obviously have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Their agenda is to come in and take over our nation, and I do have concerns. I have concerns. And it's highly questionable whether or not Trump can actually take back the election. But and I'll probably get hate mail for this. But you know, it's my opinion that that the election has been stolen from him. When you go into seeing the evidence of fraud in the voting machines, Dominion, which has been it's just programmed to be able to steal elections. Same machine they used in Argentina, same machine they used in other countries where a dictator came in and stole the election. So all of this stuff is going on in the background. The Alphabet News isn't reporting it. Some of the news commentators that are more independent are talking about it. And I think the Alphabet News is kind of being forced into dealing with it because it's all over the internet. Even though Facebook does its best to
censor everything.
Isn't that
a shame?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We have big corporations that are censoring our outlets and censoring the ability that we have to communicate with each other. So a lot of things are going to change in the next year. We're going to see probably more platforms come out for social media. what's that one?
Parler.
Yeah.
Parler came out from Dan Bongino, mm-hmm. or Bongino, however you pronounce his last name. And I know that we with Shannon Skolton at Voice of Truth, or Shannon at VOT, mm-hmm. is mine. And we're trying to start separating ourselves, mm-hmm. obviously, from the mainstream social media sources as much as we possibly can. But you're absolutely right. There's this aggressive, demonic censorship of the truth, mm-hmm. where the left liberal ideology and agenda is to do this cancel culture, erase the past, recreate the past to form the future. That is super, mm-hmm. super dangerous, super scary.
It's scary.
We mm-hmm. even see it with medicine, mm-hmm. with what they're doing with COVID, what they're doing in relationship to the vaccination. All of a sudden, it's what, science is changing? Of course, we know science is forever changing, right? Because nothing is set in stone in science. It's all hypotheticals and sure. research. But we know that there is some science that is based in 100% fact and proven, tried and true. And for those things to completely change is just completely erroneous, from masks to how they work and what we should be doing with them, to vaccinations, how they function, how mm-hmm. they should be conjugated, and what they do in our body and to our immune system. There's a lot of false premises and false ideologies that are being perpetuated, just a false narrative completely. And if it's not true, it's false. If it's not fact, it's fiction. And it's getting harder and harder now for people, Christians, to separate what is true and not true, because you have this mainstream media censoring everybody and everything. We had a post that we were going to link onto Every Man and Answer's Facebook page, which you can go to Facebook to Every Man and Answer. Follow us and like us. You can subscribe on YouTube as well. Get all of our episodes. But nonetheless, we were going to upload a video of something that was profound, and I cannot think of it off the top of my head. But when we went to go back and actually find that video to repost it, promise you, it was at least 30 pages down. We could not find it on Google mm-hmm. at all. I know I use DuckDuckGo as mm-hmm. my search engine. Yes. I don't even use Google anymore.
Right.
The thought police are out there mm-hmm. censoring everything. You can't find information. You can only find what they want you to find. It's so scary that not only the alphabet soups are in control of this narrative, mm-hmm. large pharma is in control of this yeah. narrative, and big tech mm-hmm. is in control of this narrative. So essentially, we're in Nazi Germany, mm-hmm. and that's what's happening here. Trump is fully aware of it. He's trying to interject in the private sector, fighting that fight on mm-hmm. behalf of the American people. And we need to wake up. We need to wake up. We need to see what's happening. We need to see what's going on. We need to be able to fight it. And we need to be able to speak truth in a time where there's so much deceit and there's so many lives. So we tell everybody all the time what news outlets to follow. And that would be Newsmax, I think mm-hmm. you'd agree, Newsy, mm-hmm. OANN, mm-hmm. One America News Network.
Yeah.
Ben Shapiro mm-hmm. is really good with the Daily Wire. Yep. Louder with Crowder is really good. Mm-hmm. Mike Kessler said Drudge is kind of so I don't want to say Drudge. Breitbart is still pretty good.
Breitbart's still good.
The point is, when you're following a news network, you don't need to follow journalism that only fits your ideology mm-hmm. or thought process. Journalism is supposed to be unbiased. It's supposed to bring the facts and allow the people to make the decision.
Right.
Unbiased journalism, tried and true journalism, real journalism, is unbiased. They don't pitch a narrative. They tell you the facts. They disseminate the information, and we're to do what we're called to do with our mental capacity to process mm-hmm. what is being propagated to us.
Yeah.
And that is what you need to look for. So if even any of these new news outlets that we follow start switching gear mm-hmm. on you, you need to be, they're not That's always going to be good, right? They get bought and sold.
Right. Absolutely.
I hear CNN's for sale. Did you hear that?
They should be for sale.
Who's going to buy
Bargain
them?
Bargain basement price.
You know, we can buy them and call it the Christian News Network.
Right.
CNN, you know.
We could, yeah.
Gut everybody.
Right.
The Christian News Network. No, I don't know who's going to buy them, but I hear Trump, when he is out of office eventually, either this time or in 2024, he says he's starting his own news network. And I'm really interested to see what that will look like.
Yeah. He's done everything else from beauty pageants to whatever, you know, so why not?
You're fired.
Yeah.
That was funny, The Apprentice. Well, again, if you have any Bible questions for Pastor Scott or myself, on to Every Man and Answer, the number again is 8888-ASK-CSN, and we'll be able to answer that. We have a caller, Angela from Washington State. Hi, and welcome, Angela.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
We can.
I'm so glad to talk to you, Shannon. I just love you. I just recently started hearing you on there. I agree with everything you say. I'm so happy that you're on and I can hear you. Finally, a voice of reason.
Oh, thank you. God be the glory.
That's right. Amen. My question is, I'm from Washington State. You know, the governors are going crazy with their lockdown restrictions. Our governor recently said for 4 weeks, churches in particular can only have 25% capacity, which for some of the smaller churches is, you know, could be 10 people. We cannot have choirs and we cannot have any congregational singing. And so my question to you is, do you have any advice for churches, specifically the smaller ones? They're for violation of these restrictions. They're saying it's a misdemeanor, $5,000 fine or jail. And I'm just furious that the government thinks that they can, or actually is, infringing on our religious freedom. And I just don't even know what to do at this point. I don't even know if we should have church, if we should follow the rules, if we should rebel against the rules. I mean, should we take the chance? It's so scary. I think people, you know, I think they would take us to jail. This is how just they, the length that they have overstepped.
There's a lot.
Government.
Yeah, Angela.
So I'm curious to your point.
Yeah, you know, that's a very, very good question. I'm going to let Scott answer it first, and then I'm going to follow up on the back end with my thoughts. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. You know that John MacArthur actually took the state of California to court over it. The court, the last that I'd heard, the court didn't really back him up the way that they should have, in my opinion. But in our culture, the way that we deal with things is in court. And Christians don't really want to take people to court. You know, the Bible says don't take your brother to court. And so we take that seriously. But that is how we deal with issues, is in court. The danger is if we don't stand up to our government, whether it's a state or federal government, when they start infringing on our religious rights, if we don't stand up to our government, we're going to lose those rights. We have lost a tremendous number of rights because the church has not stood up for our rights. And that is why right now the more liberal states feel like they can infringe upon our rights. Fortunately for us in Idaho, at this point at least, our government is not trying to infringe on our rights to meet, but they ventured into that area at the very beginning of COVID. My opinion is, my feeling is, you know, there are times when Jesus said, there was the time when Jesus said, go out and sell your cloak and buy a sword. Why did he say that? Well, he said that because he knew that his disciples were going to have to defend themselves physically. We always feel like, well, as Christians, we need to be passive. As Christians, we need to not fight. We need to turn the other cheek, all of those things. But there are times when Jesus taught that we are to fight. We are to stand up for ourselves. What my advice would be that somebody needs to stand up to your state in court. Hopefully, there are some attorneys who would be willing to do that pro bono, because it's going to be expensive. The state has unlimited resources. But the danger is, if we don't stand up for ourselves, for our religious rights to meet, to have freedom, you know, to sing. Whoever thought that we would be told not to sing in church? But that is what they're saying. And we need to stand up for them on their platform, which is in court. That's my view. Shannon?
You know, here's where it gets messy, Angela, and it's a very gray area. It's not as black and white. We're looking at it as a perspective of just a religious liberty to be able to congregate and gather and worship and sing. They're using a civil liberty approach to being able to remove our religious liberty. And what I mean by that is they're using the understanding of a pandemic or a global event, something for the betterment of the nation, as the catalyst for silencing us religiously. Now, we know the spirit behind that. We understand that this is actually an infringement on our civil liberties, but also our religious liberties, no matter what they try to tell us and propagate. And I agree with Scott in a sense that there comes a time, there comes a place where we have to stand up and we have to fight biblically for what the Bible says. There is a difference between standing behind your constitution and your government and submitting to government, the government of the nation, the government of the and the laws of the land, and then another ideology that is foreign that is coming in to conquer. We have an obligation to fight for what our nation was founded on, for the Constitution, being an originalist, why we fought, why there's a Declaration of Independence, why we have the Bill of Rights. We have that inalienable right to exercise all of our amendments to protect ourselves against tyrannical governments. And that is why these things were set into place, so that we would have a voice and we would be able to do so. There is no separation between church and state. People also get that miscommunication through a one line in a letter that everyone wants to propagate, that there's separation between church and state, and that that in this situation would be a better thing. It actually doesn't matter at all. What matters is the fact that we are human beings with brains that God gave us to make cognitive decisions for the betterment of ourselves and for other people. And the government doesn't have the right to control that. Our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our ideas are ours. And when we allow them to do that, and we allow them to overcome us, and we allow them to silence us, we willingly give up our freedoms and our own reality to the government. And in a communist and socialist revolution, which is exactly what is attempting to transpire here, this takeover, government is God. God is completely removed. And if we allow that to happen, then we're not doing what we are called to do as believers, to continue to go out and propagate the gospel, to spread the message, to be salt and light to the earth. The disciples were crucified, burned in oil, tortured for their belief systems. They knew when they went into certain cities and they went into certain areas that they were going to have to fight for their beliefs and they were going to have to potentially die, and they did it anyway. So you always want to look at the Bible in the lens of Scripture for how you're supposed to behave. We do need to fight. We do need to stay open. We do need to be mindful of people and illnesses. We do need to provide every outlet for people to be safe. But we don't need to allow government to control us in ways that is not logical, unlawful, and tyrannical. And you have to be a voice, and you have to stand up for what you believe in. And if you cannot do that, obviously, in our flesh, we are powerless. But we do that under the premise of the guides of the Holy Spirit in our lives, moving us to have the empowerment to do so. And so you might want to have your church seek biblical counselors like the ACLJ or Pacific Justice Institute, people who fight on behalf of MacArthur and others, because yes, it can get expensive. Yes, it can get messy. But ultimately, we are going to be blessed because we are doing what God calls us to do. We are going to preach. We are going to sing. We are going to be we're going to worship. Look at Daniel. Look at what happened in the lion's den. I mean, there are so many biblical examples of I'm not going to not pray to my God. I'm not going to not worship my God. And that is the kind of confidence you need to have in the God you serve, that when you stand up for something that the God called you to do, you're going to be blessed, and he's going to provide that supernatural protection for you. So, Angela, hope that helps.
That totally helps. It's right along the lines of what I was thinking. I'm not having much luck finding legal help. I've tried Pacific Justice, and I've tried ACLU or
ACLJ.
The other one, ACLJ. But I will keep trying, and I will talk to our church elders about it as well. So I appreciate your thoughts.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Angela,
God bless you.
If you stay on the line, Angela, we will get you some information. Hopefully they'll take your information down. And if we have any other contacts for you in regards to that, we'll make sure we send them your way. But thank you for calling, and may you be blessed today.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
God bless. Okay, let's go to Ruth in Lancaster, California. Ruth, hi and welcome.
Hi. Thank you for answering my call. First, I have a question about the Dome of the Rock. Who owns the Dome of the Rock? Because the Vatican is involved in that group that wants to have a universal Dome of the Rock temple type. And so what part does the Vatican have, and who owns the Dome of the Rock? I know that the Arab group owns the mosque. And then the Jewish state would own if it was just a Jewish temple. But if it's a universal one with including the Dome of the Rock, where's the Vatican fit in here? Does the Vatican own the Dome of the Rock?
I almost called you Mike. Scott, your thoughts.
I have to admit, I don't know. I know that there is some vacant land, interestingly enough, right beside the mosque that has never been built on. It just sits there vacant. Some speculation is that possibly that is the location of the new temple. I don't know. I find all of that very interesting, and so I do enjoy reading. I do follow it. I believe that that the mosque there is owned by by Islam, but the rest of the land, I presume you're talking about the rest of the land that's around that, and I'm not sure who owns the vacant piece. I just remember reading somewhere that there was this vacant lot right beside the Dome of the Rock. Then there was some speculation that would be a location for the new temple. But who owns it? I don't know. I presume that probably some Jewish person or entity owns that.
The Dome of the Rock is under Muslim control currently. We know that. And that for a while, prayer other than Muslim prayer was prohibited at the Dome of the Rock itself. Now there's been a lot of talk with it opening up to where, because the Israelis and the Jewish people, as well as the Muslims, have a lot of common thoughts in regards to Abraham and some of the prophets, and underlying theologies that they think are similar, and that's the key word there, they think are similar. Nonetheless, they have started opening it up to more worship, but it is under Muslim control. Now, to my understanding, and to be honest with you, Ruth, I interviewed a gentleman who was a press secretary for Benjamin Netanyahu on my program, Voice of Truth with Shannon Skolton, and we talked about this in depth. And you can go to YouTube, my YouTube channel, Voice of Truth with Shannon Skolton, and go to Zohar Toll. That's the name of the gentleman who I interviewed, and we discussed the Dome of the Rock and worship. He goes into a lengthy explanation of its current control, its current usage, and the rebuilding of the temple. To my understand, the land that it is adjacent to it and around it is owned by Israel, not by Muslim or Arabs. They do not own that land. But I suggest you watch that video in depth. It's a great interview, and I think it'll open up your eyes a lot to that question. I wish we could answer a little bit more, but I do know that it's under Muslim control, and I do know that Israel does own that land. Did you have another question?
Well, I did have another comment because of my problems with getting my thyroid medication that I'm being denied the WP thyroid. It's a natural desiccated thyroid because I've had such severe health problems by taking the synthetics, and also not realizing until just with all these problems that the synthetics actually are very damaging and they don't have the real thyroid.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are calling the T4, which is inactive, but the thyroid that's the storage thyroid is, they're calling it a levothyroxine salt when it's synthetic. But then they're making the natural desiccated thyroid companies like Armour and RLC Labs, which has WP, they're making them call the T4 rather than thyroxine, which is what it really is in the natural form. They're making it call levothyroxine, and it's a different molecular structure, and it's a salt, and it's supposed to convert into, by the body being able to convert it into triiodothyronine, which is the natural T3.
So are you saying that there's a, I'm sorry to interject only because we have short time before the break. Are you trying to say that there's something going behind the scenes with pharmacies to where you're not able to get the natural thyroid and that's intentional?
Well, the FDA is attacking them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're making them call like the T3, which you can't get it from levothyroxine salt, but it actually has to be converted from the T4 that's in the body are the natural thyroid. And they're calling it liothyronine, which is a synthetic
T3. And that happens a lot. The FDA does interject with things that are natural because they cannot control the compounds or the structure of natural medicines or herbs. And so they generally will try to silence herb companies and all natural medicine or Eastern medicine a lot. That's nothing new. That happens a lot. And indeed, natural thyroid medication might not be readily available at all, and it might just be synthetic levothyroxine or lithothyrine. But all you can do in that matter is there's nothing we're necessarily going to be able to do to change it. Trump needs to prevent lobbying to pharmaceutical companies and from pharmaceutical companies in the government, and he needs to start regulating that as much as he can. Hopefully he can do that in his next term. But we will keep that in mind. We'll keep you in prayer. Hopefully you'll be able to get the medication that you need as well as others. But thank you for calling, Ruth, and may God bless you today. We've got to go to Tom from Oregon. Tom.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. God bless you guys for what you do. I'm out on the left coast, and these are exciting times for the believers. I just want to say that. You know, it gets pretty discouraging. I woke up this morning, and the mainstream media just throws stuff on your phone, you know, and you read stuff, and they got such a bad spin on it. But I'll tell you what, I've had family that has fought in every war since World War One here, and including the Middle East confrontations, and I still have family in the military, and I just, you know, our Second Amendment is so important.
Correct.
You know, our founding fathers put in a caveat in there, and people need to know this. When the government comes to take your guns, it's up to us as American citizens to stand up and not let them.
Tom, that's correct. We're about to go to a break, but you're absolutely right. People need to know what the Second Amendment is and the rights that we have. The Second Amendment states a well-regulated militia being necessary to security for the free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. So whenever you see that happening and whenever you see your government wanting to disarm you, you need to be extremely careful. We're coming up on a break. If you have a question, call us at 8888-ASK-CSN. We will see you right after this.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
CSN International, where God's word is heard. We broadcast on almost 400 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Idaho. You can listen in great cities like Twin Falls, Boise, Cascade, Ketchum, and many more great cities throughout Idaho. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world at csnradio.com. CSN, the Christian Satellite Network.
A lifeline for those searching. This is CSN.
Hi, and welcome back to the second half of To Every Man an Answer, the live call-in apologetic show. You can give us a call if you have questions about the Bible, maybe something you heard in church that sounds a little wacky, or maybe that you're something you're discussing with your friends that you just need clarification on, or you're witnessing, and we can be of any help. The number to call is 8888-ASK-CSN. Pastor Scott and myself would love to talk to you, and anything that's on your mind, we're here to help. We had Tom on the other line right before the break talking about the Second Amendment. And, you know, something we really need people to understand, and we talk about it all the time. Any government who wants to disarm you, any government who wants to take your freedoms away and destroy the Constitution is a tyrannical and evil government ran by very draconian people that are instating draconian laws. And you need to be very well informed of your rights. You need to be very well informed of your Constitution. You need to know American history, and you need to be able to stand up and fight. No country has ever really survived and flourished and had a people that weren't impoverished or overrun when they are disarmed. And I'm going to give you a perfect example. England, if we want to look at Western Europe, did disarming England, people who are British, did disarming them help them with their violence at all? It absolutely did not. They actually opened up the floodgates and allowed tons of migrants to come into the country, and violence and deaths and rapes and murders by knife attacks and bombings and terror increased tremendously, and the citizens had no way to arm themselves. If you have a government that wants to take away your ability to have the freedom to bear your arms, they're planning on doing something sinister and horrific to you and your family. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And we need to stand by our rights and understand what those are. Our forefathers did not write the Second Amendment for the understanding that we need the ability to go hunt. As a matter of fact, hunting was just a way of life. It was survival. It was how we ate. They didn't have mainstream grocery stores and, you know, Whole Foods home delivery to get their food. They had to hunt. That is not why the amendment was there. The amendment is there so you can form a militia that is regulated for the security of a free state against a tyrannical government. See, our forefathers saw exactly what was going to happen because they were fleeing from tyranny themselves. And they knew that the heart of man is wicked and that they wanted to have the foundations of this nation being extremely clear on the points of freedom, whether it was civil freedom, religious freedom, the freedom to bear arms, the freedom of speech, the freedoms that God inherently made us or gave us the ability to have. And I can tell you, friends, and I know that Mike Kessler says the same on this program as it's his program, and Pastor Scott is probably going to give his discord, but you do not let anybody disarm you. It is a fallacy if they say that disarming people makes people more safe. Then everybody can't drive cars because cars cause, I can't even talk. Ooh, that's a tongue twister. Mm-hmm. Cars cause car crashes. See, if you use that same premise and that thought process for everything, then pencils give you wrong grades on your homework because it's not you, it's the pencil. The pencil was wrong. The lead was incorrect. Anything you say, it wasn't me behind the keyboard that made those erroneous comments on Facebook. It was the keyboard itself. It's not the gun, it's the person. And the heart of men is inherently wicked. And unfortunately, it's a heart condition problem, not a I have a gun issue. And so you don't want to allow people to take your guns or disarm you. You want to stand up for your rights. You want to protect your family. You have every right to do so. And I'm going to let you know, no one is going to come into my house and disarm me. And there are many people and government officials, even in Texas, that said, good luck. Try to come, Beto O'Rourke, and try to disarm me and take my AR-15. You're going to be met with an AR-15 at the door. And you have to have that security in what you know is true from the foundation of our nation, Scott.
Yeah, I just would like to reiterate what Shannon said. There was bloodshed in order to achieve our rights, the Bill of Rights, and there may have to be bloodshed again in order to maintain them. I hope not. I hope not. Seriously, and I'm not. I am not calling for any violence or anything like that. But the reality is that there was bloodshed in order to obtain those rights. And we're foolish if we give them up willingly. We're absolutely foolish. And one of the first steps on that, if you look at history, is the government coming in and taking your arms. It is limiting things such as our worship, our gathering together. All of those things are our first steps. You know, go back and read the history of Germany prior to the Civil War. Bonhoeffer was a Christian who stood up to his government, and he paid with his life. I certainly hope that it doesn't come to that, but we should not, absolutely should not give up those rights willingly. It looks to me like some people just feel like, well, we should just hand them over, trust our government. I want to remind you that elected officials sometimes are erroneously called our leaders. We need to remember they represent us. They work for us.
Amen.
We tell them what to do.
Preach.
They don't tell us what to do. We absolutely have to stand up for those rights to gather together. If you let the government shut your church down, they're going to believe that they have the right to do that whenever they want. They can just come along and close the doors of the church, and they'll say, well, you know, I believe that it's in the better good. They can use any excuse they want to. Right now they're using COVID. They can use absolutely any excuse that they want to. Just remember, your legislators, they work for you. You tell them what to do. If there's silence, if they're doing something and they're met by silence, remember, silence implies approval. So absolutely stay in contact with your legislators. Tell them. Here in Idaho, in Twin Falls, they were considering a mask mandate. Now, there's a lot of us who are dramatically opposed to wearing a mask. There's many reasons why we do, and you've heard me personally discuss them on this show before. But people showed up. They had a meeting at the city hall, and hundreds of people showed up. Then they tried doing it through the health department. And again, hundreds of people showed up. And there is no mask mandate in Twin Falls. We're not doing that. And it's simply because people showed up. I'm telling you, if no one had showed up, there would be right now in Twin Falls a mask mandate.
Absolutely.
Shannon?
Absolutely. No, and I'm sorry we lost Tom after we came back from the break, but that's very important for everybody to know. Let's go to the phones. We're going to go to Susie in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, and welcome, Susie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that as Christians, I think we are called to pray for our President Trump, because I was reading in Luke 18, I think it was this morning, that even a secular judge gave in to the woman that kept asking for justice. And Jesus tells us that we need to do the same. Our country was founded on it's the only country in the world that was founded on biblical principles. And I just don't think that God is ready to give us up to a socialist society.
You're absolutely right. We do need to pray for Trump. We need to pray for everybody in his administration, everybody who's assembling around him, all the evangelicals that are around him, praying for him and uplifting him. We have a choice and we have a chance. And we can continue to pray. We can continue to fast. We can continue to be a voice in our community and stand up for what's right. Not be silent anymore, not be the silent majority, as we're so affectionately called, but be a boisterous, loud majority who doesn't want our hands to slip into communism, who doesn't want the left liberal agenda to be propagated and pushed down our kids' throats. God is giving us another opportunity, and Trump is fighting the good fight to stand up for what he believes in as a constitutionalist, and to protect our religious and civil liberties. And we need to back him, and we need to support him, and we need to peacefully protest. You know, I got a video sent to me from someone at Chino Hills, Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills, Jack Hibbs Church, a friend of mine. A bunch of them got gathered together, and they went, they peacefully protested at 10:01 p.m. after he released his curfew. And because it's erroneous, it's ridiculous, and they were going to peacefully protest and stand up and say absolutely not. And they had their Bibles, and they had their flags, and they had their Trump flags, and they were giving out water, and they were giving out cocoa, and they were praying, and they were worshiping, and they were peacefully protesting. They didn't go burning things down. They didn't go looting. They didn't go killing people in the name of social justice. They didn't ransack buildings and rob innocent people and harm people who were elderly or maybe disabled. They went out, and they gathered together, and they did exactly what they were called to do. And we need to do that. We need to encourage people to do the same, and we do need to continue to pray for Trump. And you know what? Even if Biden gets in, God forbid him and Kamala Harris actually are inaugurated in January, we don't stop praying. We can't stop being a voice. We can't stop speaking to our government, writing our senators and our congresspeople, calling them, leaving them messages, petitioning, and doing what we're called to do. We can't give up. We can't roll over, and we can't play dead. We need to continue to fight the good fight in the name of Jesus, Scott.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, sometimes we forget about the power of prayer. I remember a joke one time, and I've told it a few times, but, you know, someone came up to the pastor and said, "Oh my goodness, you know, we've done everything we can and there's nothing left to do but pray." And the pastor says, "Oh my goodness, has it come to that?" You know, we don't want prayer to be pushed aside. There is tremendous power in prayer. We should be praying for Trump right now. We should be praying for this election. Honestly, I believe that Satan's minions are really busy over there with all of the election fraud. And we all need to be praying about that. We need to be, as Shannon said, peacefully protesting. That's just showing up. All you have to do is show up, you know, maybe make a sign so they know why you're there. But the contrast between the left, who are out there burning things down and tearing things up, and the contrast between them and the conservatives, who are peacefully there, they're just peacefully showing up to be counted, basically. It's stark. It's very impressive. It's nobody can miss that. You know, one side is burning things down, and the other side is just gathering, peacefully protesting, there to be counted. And I can tell you that things like emailing. I mentioned this mask mandate here in Twin Falls. Hundreds and hundreds of people emailed in,
including myself.
Both of us.
Oh, ooh.
Actually, we both emailed in. Yes.
Gave them double dose of CSN.
Yep,
huh?
We're tag teaming. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, email. They read that. There was a time back in my younger days when I worked for the state of Idaho legislature, and I can tell you that they counted phone calls and they counted mail that came in. It makes a difference. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I sent an email, nothing happened. No. People are noticing, and if enough people stand up, if enough people demand that the election fraud be dealt with, they will. But if they feel like there's silence, if there's simply silence, then they'll say, oh, we can go ahead and do whatever it is that we want to do. So don't think you're not making a difference. And I hate to say this, but if it is Biden and Harris, we need to be praying more.
It's going to take more prayer. It's going to be Harris and Nancy Pelosi.
Right?
I was going to say something else, but I have to remember.
If there's something that strikes fear in your heart,
it's both of them.
President Pelosi.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is a scary thought. Ooh, Susie, does that help?
Yes, thank you so very much.
God bless you, Susie. Stay on the line. We'll get you some books and CDs and DVDs to help you with your walk and maybe help you evangelize to others. We're going to go to Bob from Savannah, Georgia. Bob, hi and welcome.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Wonderful, Bob. How are you?
Good. I was just really wanting to just reiterate a little bit of what y'all are saying. You know, there's a lot of evil forces that are working right now that are trying to destroy this republic. And we are really the Trump administration is pretty much the only to nationalism, I mean not being a nationalist. In other words, Trump wants America to be America and be strong, and we protect our borders. And anyway, my main point was that this social distancing thing needs to be resisted. It needs to be resisted. The church needs to resist it. Mm-hmm. I understand that many good churches have done so, and they need to hold their heads up, not in bad pride, but in good pride.
Well, I think
they have.
I think, Bob, that There's a difference between being obstinate and rebellious and having a rebellious spirit that is demonically led versus having a spirit of obstinance for logical and biblical reasons, which is led by the Holy Spirit. And the church does need to stand up and start resisting, whether it be social distancing, or whether it be mask mandates, or whether it be the fact that they just can't worship, they can't sing, they can't do this, they can't do that. We need to start resisting. The church corporately, but also the church as us individually, when that transpires and it crosses the lines into our own homes. When you have governments telling you, hey, Thanksgiving's coming. Hey, Scott, by the way, if you're going to have people from two or more households at your house, can't happen. If you're in your house with people who just happen to be from two households, they all need to wear masks inside your house. And by the way, not more than 10 people, get out of here. You're not telling me what I'm going to do in my own home. Because if you allow them to start doing that, even from a church level, home fellowships, because don't think they're going to stop attacking the church corporately. They're going to then know that people are going to gather in their homes and they're going to start worshiping in your homes. And don't think that America can't easily slip into communist China, where they're taking wrecking balls while people are worshiping in churches in certain provinces and destroying the churches with the people in the churches, or where people have to park 5, 6, 7 miles away from a home, go at 2 o'clock in the morning, walk the streets, go into a basement just so they can meet together and worship and pray and worship the holy and righteous God that we all freely worship here in America, under the fear that they're going to be killed or persecuted, or that they're going to have a social credit score that would prevent them from being able to buy a house or get a loan or put their kid in school or have a train ticket or buy a car. This is a reality. Only in America do we think these things can't happen to us. I don't know why we have this sick, twisted sense that we're above everybody. We're literally going to give our government all of our freedoms and all of our rights and then be like, oh, what happened? I don't understand. So you're right. We as a church in our homes, as the actual church, the temple that Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit lives within, and corporately need to stand up. And it doesn't need to stop at social distancing. We need to demand the truth, and we know that the truth will set us free. Scott.
Yeah, we need to definitely not take the rights that we have. People assume that, oh, this could never happen in the United States, you know. Our children could never be taken from us. Our homes could never be taken from us.
Wake up.
Wake up, yeah. It's on the horizon right here. And if we don't stand up for those rights, we are going to lose them. The rights that we have, let's not forget that they're not written in stone. This is not a biblical tablet that's been brought down from a mountain somewhere. These are things that people fought for. These are things that we have to fight for to retain today. And it's not that I don't believe, you know, some people say, oh, well, you don't believe there's really a virus. No, I do believe there's a virus.
No one said that, yeah, right?
No one is saying it's not real. We're saying that it's being leveraged right now for political purposes. I believe that the numbers are completely skewed. I don't think we can believe any of the numbers that come out. Elon Musk took the test a few weeks ago, and he did 4 tests in one day, same nurse, same machine. 2 of them came out positive, 2 of them came out negative. I read a news article from Reuters that said that a papaya tested positive. There was a country, I can't remember the country now.
I did see that.
But I gave that to you,
that
right?
That dang papaya.
Yeah, the papaya tested positive. And then I believe it was a donkey or something tested positive. So the test has no validity. The numbers have no validity. In this election, we can't trust any of the numbers that are coming out. Everything is called into question here. It's all because of COVID, and we're giving, some people are giving our government power, authority over us in our homes, in our places of worship.
Out of fear.
Out of fear because of this virus, which may or may not, it has a 95% cure rate. People are not really, you know, we don't even know if they're dying from the virus or the fact that they had a heart condition.
Or diabetes.
Or some other condition. Mm-hmm. Yes, we don't know. I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm just saying that everything is into question here and our government is running with it. Yeah. And pray that ultimately Trump wins. I hope that the courts intervene on those questionable ballots.
And it boils down to how much of the leash are you going to give them on you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the leash is attached to your neck. How much rope are you going to give them to hang you?
And
I
remember, we do give them authority. We grant our government authority.
That's right. We do. We, the people, are the ones in control of this nation. Bob, does that help you with your question and your statement?
Yes, and I wanted to just add one little thing. When you were talking about how difficult it is for churches that have to be underground. In the beginning, when they were shutting the churches down, especially my church, I was telling them that very thing. How can you possibly, when people are risking their lives to gather in countries like China and Iran, can you just say, okay, we're going to close up because the government told me to?
Because Americans, Bob, we have been so blessed that we have no idea what other countries go through. We are so blind, and we have been so blessed, and we have lived in this amazing democratic republic of freedom, which every single person from other nations wants to come here and be an American citizen. We don't even understand the blessings that we've been given. And we take for granted a lot of the freedoms that we have. And it's time for Americans to wake up and realize that these freedoms were bought for with blood, the blood of our forefathers, and the freedoms for us as humans were bought for the blood from the blood of Jesus Christ. And we do need to wake up, and we need to understand that communist China is not far away. Thank you, Bob, for your call. Stay on the line. We'll get you some books and some DVDs, some CDs to help you with your walk and help you evangelize with others. God bless you, Bob.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to Todd from Washington. Hi and welcome, Todd.
I called in last week and I showed you biblically where Paul and Peter baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, but he says it in a different way. He says, be baptized in the name, singular, of the Father, comma, Son, comma, Holy Ghost. One name. So he's telling us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then in the book of Acts, that Acts 22:8, Jesus appeared as the Holy Spirit to Paul, and he said his name is Jesus of Nazareth. Why do you break Jesus up into three separate persons, three separate gods?
I think Todd, let me I'm going to double back, because I was on with Daryl Skinner when we discussed this with you, and the fact of the matter is, and honestly, I'm going to be a little unapologetic here. You don't want to see and you don't want to hear what we have told you on this program. You don't want to believe the truth. You want to argue. You want to push your point, but you don't want to see what we've been telling you about the Trinity and how it's inherently through the Word of God from the very beginning, Elohim, all the way through Jesus Christ's manifestation as man. And we explained to you that the difference between baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and being baptized unto Christ, and what that meant. There's a way that we baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which is the Trinity, which you don't believe in. We gave biblical reference for why you should believe in. I can list tons of verses here from Matthew 3:16 to Matthew 12:28 to Matthew 28:19 to Luke 3:22, all about the Trinity, John 14:26, so on and so forth. But you have to want to know the truth. You have to want to research it. You have to want to look at the original language and look at the verbiage used. You want to look where it says, the Word was one, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to look at that, and you want to understand the premise of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you don't want to learn that, if you don't want to open your eyes and you don't want to receive what the Word of God says, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do to argue a point to get you to believe it, my friend. I can give you biblical reference after biblical reference. You have to want to see the truth. Scott, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, no. The Trinity is referred to in Scripture. Each element of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are referred to separately on occasions. And then there's several occasions where it clearly says these three are one. This is part of the mystery that Paul talks about, is how can the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be separate and yet be one. So this is a part of that mystery. And like Shannon said, if you have a problem with that, then there's probably nothing I can do to convince you of that. It's quite clear to me that at times every element of the Holy Spirit worked independently, and yet those three elements are one. They are all an aspect of God. This is an argument that's taken place over centuries. There will probably always be people who have a problem with it, and there's people who won't. And, you know, we can't, obviously we can't, in the few minutes that we have on this show, we can't alleviate every question that somebody has about something like this. There are volumes and volumes and volumes written about it. If you go to christianbooks.com and search for the Trinity, and no, it's true that the Trinity is not really mentioned in the Bible. It's a term that was created or used in order to deal with this aspect of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what you need to do is go and read. Go deal with these questions that you have, because they've been discussed, they've been argued over for centuries, and they're just really not something that we can completely deal with on this show.
Well, Shannon? I actually think we did quite well dealing with it on the show, and I think we've done it quite well over and over again. I think that you just need to open your heart and not be hardened, and be willing to take the information we give you and do research about it instead of continually having circular reasoning to argue a point. Because if you call and you want to argue a point, you're not going to get anywhere, my friend. You're not going to grow in your walk with the Lord, and you're certainly not going to change my mind. So take what we say, go before the Lord, go to the scriptures, and read, and the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to you. We're coming up on another break. If you do not have the third portion of To Every Man an Answer, please follow us on csnradio.com, live streaming, and pick us up. We'll see you in a few.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare, and here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRACS, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today.
You're dialed in to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We have over 300 stations nationwide, including multiple stations in Nevada alone. You can listen in Las Vegas, Reno, Carson City, Winnemucca, Wells, and many more cities throughout Nevada and across the nation. Find your local station and a complete station list at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's Word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
Hi, and welcome back to the third part of To Every Man an Answer, the live call and apologetic show, where we answer your questions from the Bible, about the Bible, any questions you might have. We are here for you. You can give us a call at 8888-ASK-CSN. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, as well as Periscope and YouTube, To Every Man an Answer. You can also download our app, CSN Radio, in the App Store, the Google Play Store, and get us wherever you might be, in your car or on an airplane, and listen to the programs that you love the most. You can listen live from our website, tsnradio.com, as well, and stream all of our programs if you don't have maybe a station in your area. As we come back, we are going to be talking to Al from Salt Lake City. Al, hi and welcome.
How are you? God bless you.
God bless you, Al.
I was listening to your program one Saturday, which was talking about a Russian defector. This is concerning ideological subversion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at our president and how for the last 4 years, the media, regular people, people you wouldn't even think would bomb him, you know, with inconsistencies and all kinds of rhetoric, you know, in other words, they set a trigger of sorts. So anytime the name Donald Trump comes up, something in your subliminal conscious mind steps off and says anything stupid that comes to mind about the president or anybody supporting him. And it just seems like every time his name's mentioned, they just come up with something more stupid to talk about. You know,
yeah,
and the fact that it's a tactic to use colors, word association, you can call it science and technology. I mean, if you put both of them together, you know what word I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Al, they've been using mind control for a long time. I know, ooh, we're getting to something people think, Scott, is conspiracy theory, mm-hmm. mind control, MK Ultra. It's actually proven. They're disclosed government documents that show the mind control that has been used in starting originally with our troops. They did different testings on them, kind of like Pavlov's dog, but under being completely sober, being under DTM, being under LSD, being put in a dark room, lack of sleep, exhaustive exercise, so on and so forth, and did different triggers with frequencies, sounds, like you said, colors and different things to essentially control the mind and alter the mind. Mm-hmm. And it actually worked. It's called MK Ultra. You can look it up. Mm-hmm. It's unclassified documents now. And they can do that. They can use triggers and words. I think we've all seen the Manchurian Candidate. And some of these things are actually true, unfortunately, mm-hmm. as scary as they might be. But, you know, back with the Russian defector and the video that you're speaking of that we spoke about, the whole purpose of that video was to get people to understand that this was intentional, this overrunning into America of socialism and communist ideologies was extremely intentional. They knew what they were doing. They put these people in place in Yale, in Harvard, in different educational positions, even in seminaries. A lot of people, Scott, don't know mm-hmm. that, but even in seminaries, they put people specifically in place to start controlling the minds and indoctrinating people through education. It then went to seminaries and our forms of theology, and then it continued to get into our government, and then it continued to get into NASA, and it continued to go and go and go and go until here we are over a span of 50, 60 years. They've actually changed a generation. They've controlled a generation. And it's like putting a frog in a pot of boiling water. They're going to jump out, right? But if you do it the right way and you do it with cold temperatures and then you put the frog in, you slowly turn that water up, it's not going to even know it's going to boil to death as that water gets hotter. And that's the same premise they used with this mind control, this subliminal control of everything in our society. And it is proven. And as you said, Al, we have the video. They can go to Every Man and Answer and listen. We put that video up on Every Man and Answer. If you go to videos on Facebook, you can watch him speak about it. I think we even played the clip here on Every Man and Answer with Pastor Mike Kessler. You can hear it right from the horse's mouth. That's exactly what's been going on. We need to understand that this is a demonic control, that the things that are happening are spiritual. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness in the heavenly wickedly realms. and this is indeed what we're doing. We don't need to be scared. We don't need to be in fear. God does not give it a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. We need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need to have the full armor of God on. And again, the way you destroy darkness is with the light. You speak the truth. You know the word of God. Memorize scripture. Speak unapologetically, but in love. And cut through the wiles of the devil and the darkness. And the light will always shine through. Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And since Shannon brought it up, remember that words have a tremendous amount of power. Jesus, when he was being tempted by Satan on the pinnacle of the temple, what did he do? He spoke. What did he speak? He spoke biblical words. He quoted verses out of the Old Testament. He spoke those words, and those words have power. Remember, keep in mind that the words that you speak have power. If you're going to speak negative things into your world, whatever they might be, remember they have power. If you're going to speak positive things into your world, remember they have power. If you are not sure, like if you want to pray, remember, prayer has a tremendous amount of power. You're speaking. Speak God's word. Go find some verses. Go find a chapter. Go to the Psalms. What, you know, it doesn't really matter particularly, as long as what you're speaking is applicable to whatever it is. But remember, as Shannon said, we're fighting. This is a spiritual battle that we're fighting. At this point in time, we're not walking around with guns. We're not in war. We're not doing that. This is a spiritual battle, but remember that words have power. Even if they're not spoken verbally, they still have power. If you're sitting in your living room and you are reading your Bible and you come to a section of Scripture and you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to pray those words, yeah, pray them out loud. If you don't feel comfortable with that, pray them in your heart. God hears what's going in our heart. But remember that that words have power.
Al, thank you for that. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I had a Luke 21 is one of the favorite chapter of mine, where Jesus is speaking, and I believe is it 40, where he speaks about this darkness coming over the entire earth. And, you know, he's always spoke about, darkness engulfing the earth, and to pray and be watchful all the time. And the whole thing is what a question I had for you is, do you recognize a secret combination every once in a while that's being dropped on you? You know what I mean? Like somebody, like people are trying to get to you and change your perception of reality, which involves God, the Holy Ghost, and the Heavenly Host.
Absolutely. No, people are going to try to change our perception, but that's why it's so important that you know the Word of God. If you know your own reality, you know your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, you understand who you are in Christ Jesus, the reality of who you are. Adopted into the kingdom of heaven and heir to the kingdom of heaven. If you know you're covered by the blood of Jesus, that all your sins are washed as clean and white as snow, when you accept him into your life, that blood covers you, that he was the ultimate propitiation for our sins. When you know the reality of what God has done and what he's going to do in you, and you have a sense of self-worth, not necessarily self-esteem, but self-worth, in who you are in Christ Jesus, and you are grounded in that, and that is your reality, nobody, my friend, is going to be able to change your reality. They might try to penetrate it, but see, then we have the renewing of our mind that takes place, where we take our thoughts captive, and we go straight back to the truth, and we get grounded in the truth, because the truth sets us free. And it is so important for you to know the Word of God, to read, not just on Sunday morning, or listen to something on YouTube, which is wonderful. You need to read the Word of God, you need to memorize Scripture, you need to know the truth. You need to have that deep interpersonal relationship with Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter what somebody says. You're able to instantly pick up false doctrine, bad theology. You're instantly going to be able to have the ability through your prayer to ask for wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding to pick out all of the evils and the atrocities from the wolves in sheep's clothing that are around you. Because Satan can speak 99% truth, but if there's 1% lie, it's a lie, my friend. And you have to be able to have discernment to pick that up. And that comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and praying for that in your life. So stay guarded. Use the full armor of God every single day and memorize scripture. I think that we're both aware of it. I could think I can attest for Scott that that is what's happening. But nothing will set you off your firm foundation in Christ Jesus if you know his word. Al, thank you for your call. Hopefully that helps.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I just didn't want to think that, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're really trying to get super grounded, you know, and, you know, I'm not the most godly person on the planet, and, you know, and I did sin and things of that nature, and I made life hard for me in some spots, but, you know, I started, you know, dropping away from the TV, the movies, all the stuff, all the sci-fi. I just started dropping off from everything, and started one of my favorite books, the Book of Jude. I love it because it's just all kinds of sword action kicked off in it.
Yep. Read the word, stay grounded in the word. Do not get distracted. Satan has a lot of distractions out there right now. And to be honest with you, this political stuff we're seeing around here can also be a distraction to keep you under condemnation and dismay and depression and despondent. Don't let it work. Keep in the word and God will renew your mind. Thank you, Al, for your call. Stay tuned. We'll give you some books, some CDs, some DVDs to help you with your walk and maybe help you not watch TV, but focus on him and witness to others. Let's go to Todd in Bend, Oregon. Todd, hi and welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question was on the two genealogies in the New Testament, Matthew 1:1 and Luke 3:23. And for some reason, I always assumed that one of them was Joseph and one of them was Mary, but I actually dug into that, and they are both Joseph. Now, I fully believe that the Word of God is inspired, and so there's a reason for that. It looks like an apparent contradiction or whatever. I don't believe there's any in the Bible, so I'm just trying to understand what the differences are in those two genealogies.
Absolutely. Scott, your thoughts?
I would have to look into that. I don't have any idea. I'd have to do some research into that, Shannon.
I know who does have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Chuck Missler's K House on YouTube, Chuck Missler does an amazing rendition going through the Bible and the genealogies specifically. You type in Chuck Missler genealogies, and he breaks it down in some of his Learn the Bible in 24 Hours segments. And he goes down from the Old Testament to the time of Jesus' birth and dissects it so perfectly. I haven't encountered anyone who does it as good as him in my walk with the Lord. And I was born and raised a believer. I mean, it's so profound to go through the length of what he does and how he does it. I'm completely inept. he is, though, completely right on with that. And so I would encourage you, my friend, to go look at khouse.org, khouse.org, or go to csnradio.com. There's also books from Chuck Missler at csnradio.com in regards to Jesus and the genealogies. But if you go to YouTube and you look at K House, Chuck Missler, M-I-S-S-L-E-R, and look at the genealogies or Learn the Bible in 24 Hour series, he just breaks it down perfectly. And I think that will answer your question.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. And the only reason I want to know is I like anything that I've heard people call a contradiction. I like to understand those so I have a very good answer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Say that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no contradictions in the Bible, my friend.
No, none. I fully believe that. So whenever I see something like that, I immediately know I'm the problem. You know, I'm the one that doesn't understand, but I like to understand, so.
Yeah, and genealogy is complicated. It's not a simple thing to understand. And but Shannon's right to point you to Chuck Missler. He is fantastic.
I don't know. God gave that man a very special brain. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that right now. The studies and the things that he does and his wealth of knowledge, totally anointed. You're going to be blessed, Todd. Hopefully that helps. If you stay tuned, we'll get you some CDs, DVDs, and some booklets for you to help you in your walk or evangelize to others. But thank you for calling in.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Hey, God bless you. Let's go to Ken in Reno, Nevada. Ken, hi and welcome.
Hey, thanks, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing all right. Hey, my question was, in light of this gap that we're going through between election night and election decision, it brought me, please forgive me, I'm not good with the verse locations, but the verse of, you know, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, you know, I'll turn and heal their land. Is that kind of something we need, I mean, that needs to be happening right now? Because, I mean, it looks like we're like going 90 degrees from each other on the directions that this can go.
Yeah, Scott,
and so I was just wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say absolutely yes. You know, if you track back, if you go back into the United States' history, just only like about 50 years or so, and you look back at that time, right about in that time, there was a lawsuit that required the Bible to be taken out of public schools. Prior to that time, they used the Bible in class. They used it to teach reading. They used it to teach writing. It was used in a variety of ways. It could be used in an English class. And then along about in there, abortion became legal. And since that time, how many babies have been aborted since then, 60 Shannon?
60 million. Essentially, the entire population of Canada has been aborted.
So yes, I believe that it's very possible that the United States is under some kind of judgment from God because of those things. They go hand in hand. The removal of the Bible from the schools and abortion go hand in hand. You couldn't have one without the other. But we have a generation, we have several generations actually, who have grown up without the Bible ever having been read in school. So therefore, you know, when you consider that your church meets for a couple of hours a week compared to how much time the kids spend in school, and throughout this whole time now, schools have been filled with teachers with a liberal mindset. The universities, colleges have a liberal mindset. They're teaching the teachers to have that viewpoint. If you walk into any school, even in a conservative area like Idaho is, we still are pretty liberal in the schools. We're teaching our kids this. We're teaching our kids that abortion is a right. We're teaching our kids that abortion is a solution, and abortion is none of those things. What abortion is murder, and we have legalized murder. Can you imagine anything more abominable to God than a mother killing her child before it's born? Or now, actually, in some states, the child can actually be born, and you can murder your child just simply by saying the words. It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me that the United States allows such a thing. But yes, I believe that we probably are under judgment, and I believe that, you know, people have come out and taken a stand against abortion multiple times. They've said, turn away from that. They've said, stop this. These are prophetic words that are being spoken out over the United States. They're saying, stop. God has sent messengers to say, stop the insanity, and yet we have not. So, yes, can we turn? Can we repent? Yes. And what's more remarkable to me, pardon me for taking so much time, Shannon, but what's remarkable to me is that throughout this whole time, the church has said nothing. Remember, if the church is silent, if you are silent, it implies approval. They're going to go ahead and continue that. If you elect a president who is going to nominate a Supreme Court justice who has a liberal point of view, do you not think that your vote is approval of whatever stand they take on things like abortion? It is. You are saying, if you check the ballot of a president who is going to elect a judge who is going to uphold Roe versus Wade, if you check that, did you not approve abortion? You did. You just did. When you voted, you said yes to abortion. I think it's time that we repent. It's time that we turn back. I don't care if the nominee is somebody that you don't like their personality. But if they stand against abortion, that's who you should vote for. I don't care if they're abrasive. We're not voting for somebody who is nice. You know, if I have a doctor, if I go to a doctor, I want a doctor who's good. If he's rude, I don't care. I don't care if he's rude, right, Shannon?
I don't either.
No, but
fix me.
Yeah. Remember, if you know, the church has stood by and done nothing for 40 plus years on this. Silence. There's just been silence. We got to stop being silent.
That's right.
Because by being silent, we're approving. And if you're going to vote for a candidate of your state legislature, or maybe the mayor of your city, and therefore abortion, you are voting for abortion.
Correct.
Shannon.
Absolutely. Get off that.
Sorry for
that
the rant.
Great. I love that soapbox. No, it's absolutely true. You're talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that means remove pride out of our life and pray, speak to the Lord. And pray and fast and seek his face, not just his hand, obviously. We need to seek his face and him in his entirety, and we turn from our wicked ways. We're essentially repenting of our sin. Then he will hear from, he will.
He will heal our land.
He will heal our land. He will hear in heaven, and he will heal our land, and he will forgive our sin. And that is the promise that we have. But we have to do some things. Our relationship with God is relational. And what that means is it can't be all him.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just say, hey, you're God, use your hand, do this, do that. We're sorry. No, he knows the condition of our heart. And you can say all day you're being humble and you're praying and you're really sad and you're despondent and you're turning away. But are you? See, it requires you taking action. You have to humble yourself, number one. That's your job. God can't. He can humble you. Trust me, you don't want him to humble you.
Mm-mm,
but
no.
You need to humble yourself. You need to pray. You need to seek his face. You need to repent and turn from your wicked ways. That means a complete heart condition change, not just with your lips, but with every fiber of your being. And it says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive the sin and I will heal their land. See, but it takes something on our part. We have to recognize our sins. We have to recognize our faults and our failures. And that's period. End of story. That's what has to happen. We can't just say it with our lips and not do it with the condition of our heart. We absolutely need to repent. And when we went to the return with Jonathan Kahn and Franklin Graham's prayer march, there were people on their knees before the Lord, on their faces, repenting and praying and intercession for all of us evangelicals who have been completely silent. The only reason we're as far gone as we are is exactly what Scott said. Nobody had the gumption to stand up and speak out and do what they needed to do in the Christian walk. We refused to get involved in politics. We refused to get involved in government. We did not govern our sheep as pastors and as preachers and as teachers, and our sheep were led astray and they were deceived and we did nothing about it. And now we want to complain. Oh, look what's happening. Oh no, how did this happen? It didn't happen overnight, friends. It happened because we wanted to have our head in the sand and not look around, because we want our white picket fence and our Escalade and our 2.5 kids, our golden retriever and our 2-story house. And we weren't going to rock the boat. So it's time for us to repent. But we got to check our heart, because how we vote is a barometer of what's in our heart. And that's scary.
If you attend a church where the pastor is afraid to preach the entire word of the Bible,
leave.
Find another church.
Absolutely.
If you attend a church where the pastor picks and chooses, and he's not just preaching through the Bible, the magical thing is when you're preaching through the Bible verse by verse, you can't skip any. Sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes it's like, man, I really don't want to talk about that. No, you need the whole thing, because what happens is then your pastor is preaching to his audience.
Mm-hmm.
He's preaching something that's soothing, something that's
nickels and noses, as
no,
Mike says.
Yeah, it's
to get the tithes. Absolutely,
it's
keep people
pacifying.
In the seats.
Sometimes it's a difficult word that has to be spoken, and sometimes we need to be called out. You know that we need to be called out for our actions or our lack of actions. So check it. Check your pastor. Sometimes it's hard to find a pastor who does that. And the reason is because his income comes from you.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't want to tick anybody off.
He doesn't want to offend you. But Jesus said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And the crowd went, phew.
And they disappeared.
They all disappeared. He did that intentionally. He didn't want just random people following him who didn't understand and who weren't willing to get what he was saying.
And if your pastor offends you once in a while, stay right where you are. You need to be offended once in a while. I need to be offended once in a while.
I'll try to offend you today.
I need to be called out. I need to be called out.
Let me write down the ways I can offend Pastor Scott.
Yeah, there's a list there. There's a bunch of things. There's a list of things that I need to do to change. And that's okay. That's all right. When I get called out, that's a good thing. That means that God is working. God is doing something with me. Shannon?
Absolutely. Ken, thank you for that comment and that question. Hopefully that answered your question. We are out of time. Thank you for tuning in to Every Man an Answer. Follow my show as well, Voice of Truth with Shannon Skolton, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Parler or Parlay, however you say it, and YouTube. Subscribe to Every Man an Answer as well on all of those platforms. Until tomorrow, be blessed and good night.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.